Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Awesome. I already feel God in the room, so I'm going to jump in. Here's the thing. If you've never heard me preach, enjoy the ride. The other thing is, every time we walk into this room, I expect that God's going to do something. And I know that when we put our will into his hands, that he has a way of showing up beyond what we could ever ask or imagine or think. I also know that I had a good flow set up in my heart for today, and I got a text from Pastor Richard about 11:20 last night. I was closing out my notes, and he sent me a text, and he was just saying, I'm sorry I haven't talked to you much while I've been out here, but God has been moving in every single service that I've been in. He said there's been a Holy Spirit move, so I'm not going to take, like I said, his thunder from when he gets back next week. But when he sent me that text, I just started thinking, God, you promised that when we send people to the nations, that the same thing happens in our own house. You promised that when we send people out and we're staying here, the Bible gives the principle about staying here with the spoils, that we get to share in the same type of harvest that is happening as we have sent him out. How many of you believe that God wants to do the impossible right here in this room today? So I'm a little more intent today because I felt like heaven. You know, the cool part for me this morning is I get to kind of close off this series. And Pastor Richard started the series very clearly by saying, you can change. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. Doesn't matter what your past or your history is. All the things that have tried to hold you in bondage. He declared at the very beginning of this passage or this series, which actually started last month, and he said, everybody has the ability with the power of the Holy Spirit to change. Somebody say amen. Amen. That means you. That means you. That means me. That means all of us. And then a couple weeks ago, Pastor Gail followed it up, and she talked about replacement therapy and how you got to replace the wrong things with the godly things. And then Pastor Chris's word last week was also awesome, and he talked about going from clutter to clarity, so getting rid of all the stuff that kind of hang on to. And so I get to bat cleanup this morning. And I never knew, I'm not a baseball guy. I mean, I appreciate those of you who love baseball, but I'm not a baseball guy. And so I'm batting cleanup. And I didn't really exactly know what the term meant. So I have this new app. And I'm not going to give you the name of the app because I want to keep you away from that sucker. It's kind of crazy. But the app is, if you put in your information, well, I'll tell you what it is. It's an app called Perplexity. And if you put in a word or you put in a thought or an idea and you ask it like what it is, it's supposed to be like the ChatGPT on steroids. It's like the next phase of AI and whatnot. So I opened up this app and I said, hey, I think I'm batting cleanup tomorrow. Can you explain what cleanup is? And the app goes on and says, batting cleanup means that you are the last one in the line of batters, and it means that people have already been on base and that you have the opportunity to clean. I was like, oh my God. So the app is telling me what batting cleanup means. So I move on. And I get this call, like I said, after that, I get the text then from DR, from Pastor Richard, and I'm hearing him. And I'm like, oh, man, batting cleanup, that's a cool thought. I think I can work that into my thoughts and my ideas. And then probably about a minute and a half later, my app that I forgot to close off is talking back to me. And the app says, you've brought together these ideas really greatly. You could probably tie in the fact that you were batting cleanup with your... And I'm like, oh, my God. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Get behind me, devil. Like, I legit forgot that I had it live, and this woman is having this full conversation with me. All the information that I've been talking to myself about, this app is talking to me about. And I realized that we are in a time, people, where things are like they have never been before. We're in a season of life where things are unlike we've ever experienced before. I'm not a big social media guy, but I found that in the last several weeks, you know, like how you have an algorithm, so you scroll through and you see certain things, and my algorithm has been consistently showing me new apps for AI. Everything. My algorithm is showing me over and over. You can use AI to write a song. You can use AI to have a conversation. You can use AI to give you information. And I'm thinking, oh my God, these are days that we've never experienced before. So I started looking through Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is where we started the month, actually back in July. And we're going to close this series out in this same passage. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And two, it says in the New King James Version, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse two says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, bless this time. I already sense your presence in this room. In these few minutes that I have left today, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to come in and transform our minds. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit of God, that you would show us that we are living in times unlike any that we've ever experienced in the history of mankind. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to illuminate your word to the hearts of the people, that they would leave here with hope and faith and expectation that as we started the series off saying, you can change with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, we thank you for that now. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you ever had somebody say, you go to, like they go see a movie and you say, like, how was the movie? And the movies, they say, the movie was pretty good, but it was kind of dark. My usual response to that type of answer is, like, was it dark or was it dark, dark? You know what I'm talking about? So if you say, what was it? Man, it was kind of cold at this place where we are. I mean, was it cold or was it cold, cold? Because there's a difference between, right? There's a difference between, and you don't have to explain what that means. You know that if you're saying the movie was dark, then it's kind of, you know, you might not want to take your, you know, your 12-year-old, but if it was dark, dark, you might want to get up out of there yourself, right? So when we're talking about terms like this, we have to understand that there are different levels to what it is that someone is trying to portray. And I'm only going to sit in Romans chapter 12 for a moment, but I want you to see the backstory here. This is so important because we are talking about you having the ability to change. You, me, us, we have the power to change. In Romans chapter 12, this is written by Paul the Apostle. Most of you will know who he is. He was super important in the Bible. The Bible will tell us historically that the man wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. We know that Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. We know that Paul was fluent in multiple languages. We know that Paul could go into any situation and he could hold court conversationally with anybody that he came across. We know that Paul was also a persecutor of Christians, of believers, of religious people. We understand that Paul was a whole bag of stuff. He was full. So Paul, in this passage, I think it's very interesting because we also then know that Paul, here's where I love the comparison between you and Paul. Paul was very much like us in that he never got to experience and live and be around Jesus on a consistent basis when Jesus was actually physically on the earth. Now, you all know he had an experience with him where he got knocked off the donkey and his life was changed. But think of this. Just like you and me, unlike the other apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the different ones, they got to be with Jesus when he was performing miracles. They got to be with Jesus when he healed the leper. And the woman with the issue of blood and caused blind eyes to see and caused all the Pharisees to get, they got to be with Jesus, unlike Paul, who only got to have an experience with Jesus. Why is that important? Because you and I, at this point, are never going to get to physically be in the presence of Jesus. But you can have the exact same experience that Paul had. It was life-changing. It was transformational. It literally caused him to change the way that he thought about everything that he lived up to that point. It literally gave him the ability to say, it doesn't matter what my prestige, it doesn't matter what my history is, it doesn't matter what my acclaim is in the country, in the lands, all of my learning, my education. He said, all of the stuff that I have lived up to this point absolutely doesn't matter compared to the experience that I've had with Jesus. Can I have my towel? Awesome. One ball guy to another, he said. If I had time, I'd go on a total tangent, but I won't right now. But Paul had an experience with Jesus that was able to literally transform his life. So he says here in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you. What I beseech you is saying is, I am urging you, I am imploring you, I am pleading with you. It literally means I am begging you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Why am I asking you to do it? Because I've experienced the mercy of God. Why is Paul so passionate about it? Because he had experienced the mercy of God, unlike any other human being up to that point had experienced. So he says, I'm begging you, because of God's mercy, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now let's stop right there. If you're thinking about the Old Testament, you understand that everything was done sacrificially. There was no complete access to the presence of the Holy Spirit at the time because Jesus hadn't come and died and released him and sent him. So much of their connection to God was done through sacrifices. You know why Paul is saying, I'm begging you to present your body as a living sacrifice? Because nobody wants to be a sacrifice. Nobody's running to the altar to say, God, cut me open. Stretch my limbs from one side to the other and bleed me out. That's what a sacrifice was. Nobody's running to do that. But Paul says, as someone who has experienced the presence of God, I'm begging you to present yourselves this way. Why? Because you are going to be able to, through that process, change the very nature of who you are. I hope you're getting this. When I look at the word present your bodies, I used to think that passage just meant, you know, making sure you're not doing illicit, you know, intimate things, or that you're not, you know, defiling yourself with drugs and alcohol and all the things, or that you are, you know, you're eating right or whatever else. That's part of it. But do you know that that word body in this passage is really talking about your whole entire being? It's more than just your physical body. It's your mind. It's your thoughts. It's the way you think. It's the way you process. He's saying, I want you to present not just your physical body as a living sacrifice, but every single way that you have thought. All of your history. All of the stuff that makes you who you are. All of the things that you hold on to and you say, but I'm this way because that's how my family was. I'm this way because that's all that I've ever had modeled in front of me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm this way because I never had somebody show me a different route. I'm this way. Can I tell you, and I'm going to be careful how much I get into, but can I tell you that I was one of the world's worst communicators? I was terrible when I first got here. I didn't know how to share, to be open, to be vulnerable. I didn't know how to actually get past the facade. I mean, the gift of my life puts me in front of people and it makes me accessible in this way. But when I tell you that there was a barrier on my life that I did not know how to break off because I'd never seen it, I'd never been shown how to be vulnerable. I'd never been shown how to have somebody that you can share your heart with and express yourself. I'd never been shown how to not just be stoic and cut off. I'd never been shown that. So I held on to, this is how I am. It's just how I am. This is how God made me. This is what I am. This is what I go through. This is how I was formed. And the Spirit of God, just like Paul, got a hold of me at some point. And it wasn't some counseling session, which I did. And it wasn't some 12 steps, which I did. And it wasn't some whatever it was, some man-made thing, which I'm happy to walk through. But there's something about the power of God that has the ability to transform you. You got to catch this. Because Paul's saying, I'm beseeching you, I'm asking you to present your body, the way that you think, your physical body, all that entails of your life. I'm imploring you, I'm begging you, I'm asking you, please present it as a sacrifice. Because if you do, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on and he says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Somebody say transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. I heard a quote by Bishop T.D. Jakes recently. And he said this. He said, the place where people struggle the most is not in conversion, but in transformation. I'm going to say it again. The work is done in transformation, not just in conversion. We're really good at getting people to come in the doors and pray a prayer and acknowledge that you've got sin and things that you're carrying and stuff that you're walking out, and we're good at it. And I think we're getting better and better at it. And if you look around the room, we're full again on Sunday morning in the middle of summer or the end of summer. That means God's doing something in this church. That means there's more and more people who need what God has got in this house today. We're pretty good at that. But you know where the hardest part of life change is? It's not in conversion, it's in transformation. It's in deciding that all the stuff that I said I'm coming to the table with, and this is just the way it is because it's the way that it's been and it's the way that it's always going to be. Do you know that that's where the work comes in? That's where the Spirit of God has got to be the one who leads you through it. Let's read this next verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, in my speech, this is Paul, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Are you catching it? They were in demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God. So the words that he's speaking aren't some foreign concept to him. It's just, it's words. But he's saying the reason why there's power behind it, because it was in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God. Do you know why every time we walk in these doors, I'm so intent about making sure that we give the Holy Spirit room to move? Because I realize that after years and years of just walking it out and trying to walk it out with other people, I realized that so much of what we are living in that has got to be transformed is the fact that you can't do it on your own. It's got to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know it seems simple. I get the simplicity of the thought today. But the simple truth is, if you are bound and you're stuck and you can't find a way to get past what you used to think or the way that you carry yourself or all the stuff that you've been hanging on to for the fullness of your life, do you know that no man is going to be able to help you get rid of that? I'm going to say it again. Do you know I can give you scripture, I'll give you tools, we can talk with you, we can walk with you, we can pray with you, we can believe God with you, we can do all that, all the resource that's possible. But do you know that it is only the power of the Holy Spirit that has the ability to make you change? I'm just so resolved in it. I want to write a song about the last year or so or more. I've been wanting to write a song called See What God Does. Yeah, I'm going to write it at some point. I'm still trying. But I took AI. Exactly, thank you. You don't even want me. You want Jesus, thank you. But I took AI and I said, I'd like to write a song called See What God Does. And I'd like for it to be in a 3/4 time signature. And my key that I normally sing in is either B flat or C-ish. And I'd like it to carry themes of X, Y, and Z. Literally, in less than 3 to 5 minutes, I was doing it with our guy, Gabe. In less than 3 to 5 minutes, this program spit out a song called See What God Does. And it had lyrics about parting the ocean and seeing the seas and things moving and the power that God can move through. And I'm like, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I'm not anti it. But here's what I realized, guys. AI can give you formulas. It can give you all the stuff from information that has been entered by person after person, season after season, right? It just compiles all of this metadata, all this stuff that's compiled. But what it can't give you is the power of a living God. Ah! It can't change you. I'm sorry I'm not yelling at you, but I'm being honest. I'm passionate because I realize nothing short of an experience with the power of God has the ability to change you. You have to have God. We have to have the presence of God to help us. I remember sitting in a car with a friend of mine. I was 19 years old. And we got into a big argument, tussle back and forth. And I loved him and he loved me. And he was very advanced in the things of the Spirit and things of God. And I remember sitting in the car. And we were going back and forth. He was just speaking. And I was like, he was like, Lindsay, just talk. Just tell me. Just share what you're feeling. Tell me what's going on. And I literally sat there closed off because I didn't have the power to open up my heart. And I sat there like somebody had stolen my tongue. Because all I'd been taught was you shut stuff down. And you leave stuff in this house. And you don't put your business in the streets. Anybody grow up like that? You cover that stuff up. You don't tell everybody that what's going on in your household and your family. And years later, with the encounter of the Holy Spirit that I've had, that's been systematic, it's been consistent, I think about that person and I'm like, I don't even know who that dude was. I'm a different human being. All glory to God. All glory to people who love me and help me walk through. But you know what? Only God had the power to change who I was. If you're bound and you're stuck and you've been trying forever, you just do not know how to get past whatever the wall was that you've had your whole life. Do you know that God can help you? You know that he can help you? You know if you are stuck in a rut, in a place that society is telling you there is no way for you to get past and get free? You know God can help you? Do you know that literally one encounter with the Spirit of God, with you saying, whatever it takes, God. Oh, by the way, that's the name of my message. The title of my message today is Whatever It Takes, God. Whatever it takes, God. I forgot to set that up. Hey, you missed the last part, though. It's supposed to be Whatever It Takes, God, F-R-F-R. There it is. For real, for real. Not just dark, but dark, dark. Whatever it takes, God, for real. Not just for real, but for real, for real. Whatever it takes. If you want to make me completely uncomfortable because I'm desperate enough to know that I got to change in this area, whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes. Hey, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You need me to shut something off? Whatever it takes. You need me to give something away? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes for you to help me walk this out, because I know I can't do it on my own, and I know I need the power of your Spirit to help me, and I know I've been the same person for as long as I can remember, and I know some of the past things that I've carried with me for the entirety of my life that it's hard for me to get past. God, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Do you know that one of the reasons why the enemy is so strategic about getting after you when you are younger? Do you know why he's still so strategic about that? It's because he knows that in those formative years, in that time when everything in you is being formed and stationed and fashioned. Do you know that he's so doggone dirty that he wants to get you in your infancy so that all the stuff that he's implanted in you, you can have to deal with and walk out for the entirety of your life? Do you know that nearly every conversation that I've had with people, because we don't do counseling, because none of us are licensed counselors, but we will give you the word of the Lord, and we'll give you scripture, and we'll give you spiritual principles. Do you know that about 99% of the time, when you start to unpack and uncover people's lives and where they are right now, it was of an effect of something that happened to them when they were younger. Do you know that? Not an excuse to live a certain way, but do you know that most of the time that we're unpacking stuff that the enemy tried to put into them and form into them and make them think and make them feel about themselves or about the way that they communicate or carry or whatever it is? And I thought it was very interesting. I also heard a pastor say this: it's not my destiny that I'm worried about. It's the contamination of my history that I've got to overcome. We can come in and say, oh, you have a purpose. And God's got a plan for you. And oh, there's great things coming ahead of you. And it's going to be awesome. And just have faith and hold the word of the Lord. And you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Hercules, Hercules. Right? We're so strong about you've got the ability to change. But so many of you are fighting the contamination of your past. And you're having to find a way to get through and to get over and to get beyond the way that you have thought forever in a day. And I'm here to tell you, God can help you change. Yes. Whatever it takes, God. Hey, for real, for real. Whatever it takes, God, you want me to be a living sacrifice. Paul said, I beseech you, I beg you, I urge you, I implore you, make yourself a living sacrifice so that you can be transformed by his power. The last verse I want to do, and I'm going to pray for some of you. I'm going to pray for some of you. Because today, in the simplicity of this message, I know that I know that I know that some of you, and I love Pastor Gail, she didn't even know it, but on Wednesday night when we were praying, she said that she really, and I mean, she went into a fifth gear, and she started praying for people who had just settled in an area of their lives. And I know that I know today, I know it, that there's some of you who have said, I just don't know how to do anything different. This is just what I am. This is just the way it's been. This is just what's been on my family forever. This is all that I've known to do and to be. And some of you, I'm telling you by God's Spirit, you didn't settle because you didn't care anymore. You didn't settle because you didn't hope that maybe God could do something. You settled because somewhere in you, the enemy let you believe that you couldn't change. I'm telling you. I know it by God's Spirit. I know it by God's Spirit. You don't have to be who you were. So this passage says, in these last few seconds, in John chapter, verse 17. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. I got two verses. In Luke chapter 15, this is the story of the prodigal son. And the story goes like this. It's verse 17 of Luke chapter 15. It says, but when he, the prodigal, came to himself. Somebody said, came to himself. Came to himself. One more time. Say, came to himself. You can pull the verse down. But when he came to himself, what that is saying is there was no choir. There was no front line. There was no PL or Pastor Gail or Richard or whoever else. There was no counselor. There was nobody but him and God. And the Bible says he came to himself. What does that mean to you? That means there has to be a moment in your life, in whatever you're walking through or dealing with, that you come to yourself and say, I just can't stay here anymore. I can't do it for you. I can't walk you through it. I can't decide for you. I wish I could. But you have to find, I love the passage because it's very clear. The Bible says the prodigal, it's like he had a splash of cold water on him. And the man had been living outside of the best and the promises of God. And the Bible says nothing dramatic. He was willing to go to the pig pen and live like servants lived. And at some point, this man came to himself. And he said, God, if this is the thing that you are helping me to identify, if this is what it is, which in his case was lascivious living, wasteful spending, moving himself out of the covering of his family, somehow he had an encounter with God that said, I'm going to come to myself. He came to himself. And he said, I can't live the way I was living anymore. Something's got to change. Something's got to give. Spirit of God. So many people, I know it. Spirit of God. Can you help us? The last verse, and I'm done, it says in John chapter 15. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Somebody say joy. Oh, I know the altar stinks sometimes. I know it's weird to have to tie yourself up to be sacrificed like a lamb. I know it's a lot easier to get up and say, oh, but God, I got to keep this place. Nah. I know it's a lot easier to say my family did it and they showed me and I didn't know and this is just, I know. I know it's so much easier to do that. But the Bible says the reason why he wants you to transform is so that you can have the fullness of joy in every area of your life. Oh, Ramadea. The fullness of joy. The fullness of victory. The fullness of breakthrough. The fullness of no longer being bound in that area. I know this is kind of heavy today, but I sensed that as I back clean up, and me and Perplexity were talking about y'all today. We had a real good conversation about y'all. I'm going to have you play in just a sec. That God's going to set some of you free. Because today, you just decided I'm not going to be that guy anymore. Well, that sounds too easy. No, it's the Spirit of God that does it. I'm not going to stay stuck in the spot I've been in. I'm going to figure out how to live different, love different, carry myself different. Thank you, Lord. Oh, could you play at the altar for me, Brandon? I was looking through. I didn't have a chance to go into it today, but I was in Maine. And everything's just different there. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's awesome if you're from Maine. You from Maine? Oh, what up, man? But Maine, it's cool. And my sister was kind of taking me around, and it was interesting because they have a whole different philosophy on legalized marijuana. And that's a whole other subject that I'm not going to get into. But I told her that literally on almost every corner in Ocala, somebody's got a weed shop. Can I say that out loud? Is that okay if I hit that? And what I found is that some of it's medicinal, some of it's, you know, prescribed or whatever. But I've had conversations, personal conversations, and one that I'll talk to in the camera because I know he's watching. It's a relative of mine. We had a great conversation about it. And he said, you know, I don't want to have to do it. But I feel like I have to do it because I don't know how to get free from having to do it. And I couldn't say, hey, chew gum or switch things up or whatever. All I could tell him is, then you need an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But I just got to have a drink. but I can't settle my nerves if I don't. Then you need an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. But I don't know how to not think that way or do the, then you need an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's here. He's in the room. So close your eyes. Father, I thank you. If you want to get free, you can get free. If you want to change your mind, you can change your mind. Now, God, I've delivered this as best I can. 1 minute and 54 seconds long. But God, I thank you that as we close out this month about mind games, God, we stand in this room and we say, whatever you want to do, for real, for real. For real, for real. Help me, God. Help me, God. Dakota, are you near me? Say, I'm removing.
I'm removing all of the things that would move me further from you. A thank you could not be enough. It's not lost on me what you saved me from. I'm running, stumbling, I know, but I'm coming to bring you this offering. My worship I'll never withhold. It's broken, but you call it beautiful. With the tears of the desperate, reach the feet of the Savior. Nothing I wouldn't offer. There's no waste at the altar. With the heart of surrender, reach the hands of the Maker. Nothing I wouldn't offer. There's no waste at the altar.
With your heads bowed as they are and your eyes closed, God, I'm going to go long, so I'm going to try to hurry, but I know that there are people who've had things that you put on the altar and you picked it back up because you're like, it's too hard. I can't get rid. And Paul said, I beseech you, I beg you, I urge you, I implore you, make yourself a living sacrifice, because on the other side of it is great joy and great victory. If it's you, if there's something that you are stuck in and you don't know how to get through and free and whatever it is, I'm asking you, everybody's head is bowed. They're going to be careful with the cameras, but I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands right now because I'm going to pray for you. I see 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 you in the back. I see you all over this building. God, you know what it is. Is it finances? Is it gluttony? Is it sexual sin? Is it addiction? Is it ways of thinking? God, what is it? You know what it is. But these people are in this atmosphere, in this moment, saying, I'm ready to put it at the altar and leave it there. So God, lift your hands up high if that's you. Don't be ashamed of it. I see you. Come on. Now, Spirit of God, I thank you that you're working. And you're not a respecter of persons. And you are able to set us free. And I thank you that a simple word like today maybe will be the catalyst for them to begin to think differently. And to know that you are able to change and move and adjust and shift and change a heart and a life. Because of who you are. We can't do it on our own, but thank you, God, for the experience of your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Come on, keep them high, and I'm going to pray. Lord God, I thank you that in this moment that we're going to see, they're going to feel, they're going to experience, and they're going to be able to settle in their hearts. God, something's got to give. Something's got to give. Something's got to give. And Lord, they can put it at the altar. Thank you. because there's no waste at the altar. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Right now, we sense you in this place. Hey, there's no waste at the altar. Give it to him now. Give it to him now. Give it to him now. In the name of Jesus, say there's no waste. There's no waste at the altar. He can use anything. Sit back and watch him. Yeah. There's no waste at the altar. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. You're amazing. You're worthy. I'm a flawed vessel, but I pray that whatever you wanted to deliver to these people, God, it happened in your way, in your will. And we thank you for it, Lord. If you love Jesus and you got something, give him a big praise in the house this morning. Come on, for real, for real, for real, for real, for real.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.